You guys, it's Andy's girls. In the words of Jenna fucking Lyons, 1, 2, 3, bitch pigeon vagina hair. It's episode 640. I really don't know. I've spent the last several days in Rhode Island dealing with some yada and brought my equipment with me, certainly intending to watch episodes while I was there. And life, etc., happened, and unfortunately I wasn't able to. But also as a result, I decided not to watch the newest episode of New York, the first part of the reunion, and then the second part of Salt Lake, having certainly seen the first, and the newest episode of Beverly Hills, because I wanted to be able to record, hopefully, shortly after watching. And usually I do a little thing of like watching once and then, you know, diddling and daddling. Whatever you would call it. That's not it. That's not the phrase. And then if I am able to do a little bit of a rewatch before recording, that's probably not going to happen this go around. But I am going to be doing some deep dives of Beverly Hills and Salt Lake coming up. However, I posted on Instagram stories a poll, as I did last week as well, and said, don't necessarily hold me to it if the results are like completely bananas, but what would you like to hear me discuss first? Because I'm playing a little catch up now that I'm back in New York, back in the Clawfis, and so I was kind of curious what people would want to hear first. I had an instinct of what it was that I wanted to watch and then unpack, but I just kind of wanted to get a general sense of how people were feeling and if it was like close to what I wanted to do. And overwhelmingly, over 50% of the vote said New York's reunion part one first, not denying the existence and power and entertainment of Salt Lake City or Beverly Hills, but just like this is the first episode that folks want at bat. And that actually happens to line up perfectly with what I wanted, because while I hadn't seen the episode in full, I have seen a couple clips. I'm saying a couple out loud, but I actually only think I had seen one. Bravo, I think, released a few. The one that I saw when it came out, part of the preview, was a portion of what Jessel said to Brynn, which to me, I was kind of like, okay, this actually looks interesting. And it just kind of like piqued my curiosity a little bit of what exactly the dynamics are going to be like during the reunion. And before getting into a deep dive of part one of the reunion, which I'm just about to do, having just seen it, I do just want to say as a trigger warning that this episode is going to include discussion around sexual assault and rape, obviously being at the core of the finale of New York, and certainly some of the conversation on part one and absolutely on part two, just judging by the sort of teaser that we got of what is coming up on part two, which I think Andy also said was going to be a supersized episode. So I don't know what that means. Maybe it'll be like an extra 10 or 15 minutes. I have no idea. But I did just want to share that before diving in. And so I just watched the episode. I have heard from friends who've been like, you know, season was a flop, but the reunion was actually interesting. And I didn't hate the reunion part one. I really didn't. There were moments where I laughed out loud, like fully cackled, several of them. Actually, one of them, thanks to Brynn, was when she just kind of said in a zesty way, "Pioneers." As a response to Aaron, you know, Christopher Columbus of Mezcal, just kind of introducing America to her new favorite drink. And certainly Andy, the way that Andy approached the conversation of Jessel and what I guess the Valencia filter that she has applied to her face, like, ma'am, you did something. What did you do? The way he just honestly sounded out the words made me laugh so hard. He literally was like, you look like an airbrushed version of yourself. What has happened? Followed by a couple of minutes later, your teeth also look different. There was something about the cadence of his voice. I fully cackled out loud. And who knew that New York could have some bright moments? And there were obviously also impactful parts of the reunion that I found interesting, moments that I connected with. But there were so many other moments where I just felt some sort of combination of befuddled and bewildered. And I think the difficulty here is Brynn is so much a part of conflict this season. Like, honestly, putting aside the finale, she's at the core with like repeat behaviors and just all of the cast members expressing their upset toward her, noting that everyone feels or appears uncomfortable when they're talking to or around Brynn. Like, there is an absolute, to me, just like obviously an outsider, it feels like the energies on stage are completely opposite. Brynn is aware that the vibe is off. You can see it in her body. Like, if I was Brynn, I would, I'm sure, be feeling that discomfort, and you would be able to probably see it present in my body because it has to be uncomfortable. Probably knowing that there's going to be a lot of stuff that she's going to be held accountable for. So I do kind of want to just like mention that. But also for the rest of the cast, you know, so much of the LOL of Housewives is that the show isn't about conflict or conflict alone. The show is about conflict resolution. But what happens when, to me, it appears like the cast is more focused on accountability and moving forward without this person who's at the core of so much animus? What happens if no one is interested in resolution? Like, Andy starting the reunion off by asking about people's intention was interesting. Like, the answer of, I want people to be understanding, or the intention is clarity. I'm thinking to myself, isn't the intention accountability? Isn't that like the whole fucking point of what, if that's a nothing burger? It's one little moment. But I also found it kind of like illustrative, for me at least, of part one, because I do think the cast is honest with themselves. Like, I think they're all on the same page. I think it's Brynn and everyone else. But who is going to be the person that says, and we haven't really seen, well, actually, no, Jessel did. Who's going to be the person that says, like, there's no moving forward? Or does it need to be said because it's so obviously clear? And it's not entirely on Brynn. Like, I am just one of bajillions of people talking about how fucking terrible production for the show has been. That the instinct of what defines drama throughout the season, let alone, God forbid, what they're encouraging cast members to do. I'm not removing any of Brynn's responsibility or accountability. I'm just saying there's more than enough to go around that has made this season, to me, so deeply unwatchable and uncomfortable and the exact opposite of entertaining. And I just kind of wonder, when it comes to Brynn, I think there is a core misconception of what entertainment is for her, what her scope of work is, and the awareness that the cast should have of, you know, like how she's doing her job. And Uba just gave an interview to Glamour magazine. I encourage people to read it. I actually found it fascinating. And if you want to bookend the finale and season as a whole, I would recommend reading both Brynn's interview, which was, apologies, with Variety or the Hollywood Reporter. I think it was the Hollywood Reporter. reading that and reading Uba's interview, because they're obviously very different, completely different realities, what Brynn experienced versus what Uba experienced. So I would actually recommend reading both of them. I'm going to get into more of Uba's because I discussed Brynn's on last week's episode about the finale. I'm going to get more into Uba's on a Patreon episode I'm about to record. But the difficulty here is, you know, the cast talked about during part one, I think Uba got into it during her interview as well, the text messages that Brynn would send to the cast during the season. Like Uba said something along the lines of like, she would text the cast and say, "You're not rising to my level." She meaning Brynn, that Brynn would criticize what the cast was doing and saying that they were essentially not good enough at this show. And I mean, first off, thank God they're not, but also literally reboot the reboot. The difficulty is Brynn is trying to do so many different things. And I think a part of that is feeling that this is sort of her responsibility and scope of work, but also it didn't happen. But also the cast should understand the reasons that she's doing it, but also what they're saying she did isn't the truth of the matter, or they need to give her the benefit of the doubt. I have not seen someone demand the benefit of the doubt like Brynn demands. Every single time, I cannot remember the last time I've seen this. Like, I don't want to compare Brynn's responses to like Teresa's or, God forbid, Jen Shaw's, because Brynn is smarter than that. But she's so disconnected from the rest of her cast's reality that she's actually doing something closer to what Monica did during her reunion, which is at a certain point, making the decision not to apologize and take real accountability and just kind of do her own thing, which I would strongly recommend against if she was interested in continuing with the show, which I can essentially guarantee you that she is. Because also, what does she do for a job? There were so many moments where the cast is like quoting back the things she says to them, the money she makes, telling them what she made in Q3, these things that are so strange to say. I mean, the oddity of her at one point saying, I think it was about Psy, that Psy was like projecting her own shit on her, when Brynn is obviously doing that when it comes to work and money and culture and some sort of societal power that feels like it comes from a place of extraordinary insecurity. But the difficulty of blaming this on insecurity alone is that I think Brynn is potentially, God forbid, more self-aware than she is giving us during this episode. Like, there is, to me, a deep insincerity when she's apologizing to Jessel before she cut into the reasons that the cast is ultimately responsible for what she did, or the fact that, you know, she's apologizing to Jessel, but she was the victim of the rest of the cast. It feels like it's not like her projecting her apologies onto other people as much as it is her performing the art of understanding the ways that her actions were wounding. You know, it's unfortunate. I honestly, when it comes to moments from this season, so much has been clouded by the darkness of the finale that there were all of these other moments that have come to light in part one that I feel like really deserve a lot of understanding. And I'm not talking about like the big picture stuff, because obviously we're talking about losing parents. We're talking about women coming forward and being public and trying to remove the shame and stigma of sharing their stories of choosing to have an abortion. We're talking about surviving sexual assault. There's a lot going on that's like very real and important. But when it comes to some of the more housewife conflictory of it all. That's a fun new phrase that I've created. The focus on ending the episode with Jessel speaking to Brynn, like speaking at her, which I think is probably at the end of the day what you sort of have to do. Because what are Jessel's expectations? Like, she owes something to herself to say to this woman, to say to this cast member, like, you really did me wrong. There are genuine issues that I now have to deal with because you decided to lie. You decided to manipulate Jenna. Like, Jenna came fucking alive. It's unbelievable. Jenna clearly going a step further than Jessel and saying, like, you intended to manipulate. You intended to say something different than what Jessel had said as a way to maybe bond with the women, as a way to gossip, as a way to create a moment. And it really done fucked her up. Like, the clarity that they have in talking to Brynn in those moments is incredibly important, because Brynn is in a position where she has to be quiet. She has to, like, hear what Jessel is saying and attempt to sit in it, but she won't allow herself to do that for very long. But it was, to me, I mean, there's also other stuff. There's, like, the sigh of it all. There's the Aaron of it all. And Lord knows I'm going to get into this on an episode that I am recording with a guest in the Clawfist tomorrow. But I did just kind of want to get a head start on it by talking about New York Tonight and just having more time on this than I would in an episode where I'm going to be talking, certainly, I'm sure, about, like, Beverly Hills and Salt Lake as well. There is just something about watching Brynn in that moment where you think she might get it, but honestly, genuinely, honestly, I don't think she does. I don't know if she can't. I don't know if she won't. But I'm not willing to do the thing that some members of the cast are doing publicly that I'm assuming they're not really doing privately, which is to suggest that we have an understanding of Brynn's intent with some of this, where it's like, hey, you might not be aware of what this will do to someone, but the impact is still your responsibility. Like, you still need to take responsibility for what this did to people. And obviously, there's a lot going on with Brynn. I am very uncomfortable watching a season so focused on her, because I don't think she should be on television. I don't think this is a good fit for her. I don't know if she knows who she is. I don't know who she is. I know less about who she is now than I did maybe at the beginning of season two. I know of the impact of terrible things that have happened to her, and I connect with her about that. But when it comes to Brynn, who is a whole person, I would assume a very complicated person, there's such a lack of empathy and awareness in her that makes the idea of her moving forward in the show, to me, completely impossible. And that's not to say that, like, shows haven't continued with people who are seen as maybe the antagonist or the villain, however you want to describe it, because the kind of interesting thing about Housewives is sometimes you can look at a character, quote unquote, and be like, I fucking hate that person. They're a trigger housewife. Three seasons later, there might be the love of your life. Look at me and goddamn Dorit right now. I did a Patreon episode, shout out Medi, with an AG who did a premium tier of the page. We recorded an episode. I wouldn't let him get off the recording. It ended up being like an hour and a half long because he wanted to talk about Dorit. And it was before the newest season aired. And I was like, I fucking hate Dorit. Dorit sucks. I can't believe she's back. Meanwhile, now I'm like, am I the, I don't even know, secretary of the Dorit fan club? I'm watching her on TV. I'm like, do I admire her? I don't know about that, but I certainly am enjoying the fuck out of her. And I would not have believed it if someone told me last season that I would be saying this shit about Dorit positive things that I'm saying now. So is it possible that I might feel differently, that I might have maybe more understanding of Brynn or more enjoyment in watching Brynn on this show if she stayed with this show? Anything is possible, but I definitely don't think it's good for her. I absolutely don't think it's good for the cast. And I just don't think that, I think the show is at such a crisis point right now that, like, what benefit would that serve? I don't see any kind of benefit. And I can't stop kind of thinking about Monica with all of this. Although I think Monica is more self-aware. She just makes truly terrible choices. With Brynn, I really kind of struggle with her because, yeah, is it possible that she genuinely does not understand people's feelings? Sure. Is it possible she genuinely doesn't care? Absolutely. Is it possible that all of this is related to trauma responses, to her coping mechanisms, to her place of survival? A lot of this was discussed during the finale by members of her cast, most especially, if I'm remembering correctly, Raquel and Sai, who had a lot of empathy in how they were talking about Brynn's history of lying. And it's like this thing that may have helped her survive, this thing that has helped her cope, is now, I think, for the purposes of Housewives, really truly working against her. But when we start the episode with her sitting down to glam, well, actually, first, with her saying to Jessel, like, I think it's fine, right? With, I assume, some level of sarcasm, I'm just thinking to myself, she can't be serious, right? Like, she can't genuinely mean that. Or does she? Like, if she believes that she has done nothing wrong, or she may have done these, in her mind, small mistakes. Maybe she makes mistakes in completely rewriting the history of Jessel's conversation about some one-night stand or ex-boyfriend or whatever. And in her mind, translating this seemingly like light sort of nothing burger girl talk conversation about sex or whatever, and saying that this guy was Jessel's, that Jessel said this guy was the love of her life, which is wildly damning to say about a woman who is married on television, to create a moment. The level of denial that I feel like I would have to walk through this episode and not assign Brynn any responsibility or give side eye specifically about her intent. Like, she's responsible and accountable regardless. But I also feel like we're not all being honest. If we have this opinion, people absolutely agree to disagree, and there's no way for any of us to know. I don't even know if Brynn knows, but I think a part of her does know that what she did was lie. Like, I think she does. She's telling us she doesn't, but she's a good performer. She has had to be. I don't believe her lies. I don't know if she does, but this thing feels so fully off because it feels like she's trying to communicate that she understands things while either refusing to or just not. Like, the moment where she's reaching for Jessel, I'm so sorry, trying to take it in, I just don't believe her. I just don't. And it's incredibly unfortunate. It also, I guess a person could argue, is like, does the reunion then become a waste of time? Everything, a lot of this season when it comes to conflict, not everything, but an awful lot, involves Brynn. And if I don't believe or trust Brynn or just feel fucking uncomfortable watching her, then how am I able to get through this season, or think about, I was about to call it season two, season three or whatever, of this godforsaken show, if she's at the core of so much of it and her being at the core is like not good? There's just something about her that just doesn't feel right for this. And she bears a lot of responsibility for that. But I also feel like, what was production saying to her behind the scenes? Were they encouraging it? They weren't doing that certainly for her best interest. Maybe they were masking it. But where can we go from here if it really feels like Brynn is the ultimate impasse?
I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com. Could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, this season of Real Housewives of New York, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. For me, it's those couple days before my period when I just don't feel like myself. And there's also perimenopause and menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. The good news is we don't have to suffer through anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hashtag spiritually mid-20s plus. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages who are struggling with life-disrupting symptoms such as PMS symptoms like irritability, moodiness, discomfort, menopause symptoms like hot flashes, night sweats, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today.
Before recording the episode, I just kind of thought to myself, I want to see what Dame Brian Moylan is saying. Brian, friend of the pod, the president and CEO of the Real Housewives Institute, who recaps a bunch of Housewives franchises for New York Magazine Vulture. I just kind of thought to myself, I'm curious for what Brian has to say about the reunion. And he said something at the end of the recap that I was nodding. When I was reading, I just kind of felt like, yeah, that lands for me. He said, Brynn is bringing out so much from these women, making them act the most emotional and dynamic they have all season. But it's also clear that they can't continue on with her. They don't trust her. She can't be verified. And maybe worst of all, she didn't do her homework. The thing with Brynn that drives me a little bit insane, but I'm also like curious about it, but I'm very confused, is that for all she has said about how questioning her work, her scope of work triggers her, I don't understand what she does for a living. And I think that's a fair thing to ask. She's telling Andy that she spent $7,000 on her reunion dress. She's making it clear, like, I had the money to buy it, or maybe I bought it. Regardless, she usually starts from the place of like cash. And I just don't understand why when Sai directly says to her, I don't, you know, like, what do you do for a living? That she doesn't at that point tell us succinctly what she does. Her response was to look for, I think, a housewives moment where she's saying, I do your job, which is nonsensical to me. I don't know if she was saying, I mean, I'm a housewife like you are. I don't know if she's saying I'm an influencer like you are, which she isn't. Like, Sai has been able to make full-time work out of content creation, influencing in the fashion lifestyle space. Brynn doesn't do that, or certainly that hasn't been her focus. She's told us she's a marketing and comms consultant. Why wouldn't she take that moment and be honest about her work? Like, tell us some recent examples of the work that you do, because you lead with success, but I don't understand where that success comes from. And I feel like I should after two seasons. And when you are explaining to us the ways that, I mean, it's a different thing when it comes to the argument during the vacation at the beginning part of the finale when Uba is slut-shaming her. That's related to the work of housewives. But the point I thought that Brynn has made is like, how dare you question my work? How dare you bring sex into that? But let's get back to the work part of this. Like, why don't we know more about Brynn than some initially superficial parts of her personality, that she's giggly, she pretends to be ditzy, she's zesty, she'll make a moment. We now understand that there's a lot more about her. She's let us into that part of her inner life. But then when it comes to like other parts of her external life, I just kind of think to myself, you're being given a gift here, and you're a marketing PR professional. You're telling us that that's the work that you're doing, but you're behaving in a way that I find confusing. I guess number one for me, when it just comes to like the strategy around the reunion itself, why did Brynn wait until filming day to watch the finale while she's getting glam? She knows what happened during the finale. She also tells us that she works in PR, specifically like PR comms strategy. Why on God's green earth would she recommend for herself holding off on available time provided to her to strategize a response? She could disagree entirely with how the cast has behaved, and she said as much in her post-finale interview, which she had after watching the finale. But if I was Brynn in that position, or just taking myself out of it, of being in her role, in her work, I just don't understand why you would set yourself up for maybe not failure, but chaos in that way. Is it denial? Is it denial in I don't want to think about what happened during the finale, what I shared, the Uba of it all? She made a face when the cast in the finale, when she's like watching it in her dressing room and someone says, I feel so bad for Uba. I just kind of thought to myself, how do you plan on walking into this reunion? Now, I don't know how much time the cast had to watch the finale. I wouldn't be surprised if they were given a copy of it the day before. Like, that seems entirely possible. A day before, 2 days before, they need to watch it in order to, you know, get through the reunion. It's strongly encouraged that cast members watch the season before filming the reunion, so they know when people are asking them or holding them accountable for behaviors that they have an idea of exactly what aired, and maybe that can help them clarify. I am sure that Brynn felt discomfort and absolutely, I would think, fear of what was shown during the finale, but I'm just so confused at that choice. And why would you want your reactions to be filmed? Why wouldn't you want, with everything being so public, why wouldn't you want a moment why would you want to make this into a moment? It just was strange to me. I guess I'm trying to make sense of a person who so often behaves in a way that doesn't. But the thing about Brynn is I'm unwilling to remove responsibility and accountability that she deserves to bear. I'm unwilling to say that she doesn't bear responsibility for her behaviors and that her intent is always good. I'm unwilling to do that. I, as everybody on both couches, and Andy in his chair, have done, I feel all of the empathy and sympathy for her in the world about what she has survived as a child and surviving sexual assault, let alone the reveal that she still sees the person who attacked her and has IRL. Maybe it's in social circles, maybe it's in professional. I have no idea. I feel so much pain for her and have a lot of support for her and sadness, share a lot of sadness with her about what she has experienced. But I am not going to also say that she gets a free pass permission slip specifically around intending to lie and manipulate with the other stuff. With the Jessel of it all, with the Aaron of it all, with the Uba of it all, with the many number of times prior to the finale when she did things to create a moment or whatever, but sacrificed her friends in order to do that and is pretending that she didn't. She is not doing a great job with that act. When it comes to the Jessel of it all, for example, like the Jessel and Pavitt and I guess fuckability quotient of their marriage, it doesn't matter to Brynn how I, individual viewers, creators, feel, like the opinions that we have about her. We're so on the outside of this, watching edited, manipulated footage. It doesn't matter. She can argue we don't understand her at all. She would be right in that argument that, like, there's a lot of filters on top of whatever happened during filming, whatever led to these edited episodes and whatever's going on behind the scenes. But it absolutely does matter how the cast receives her. And you can just see the separation. And there are moments where they're questioning her intent and moments where they're not, but I'm watching the cast watch Brynn and they all look uncomfortable. It was shocking to me how expressive Jenna became, and it was apparent that in that moment, as she said, she realized that Jessel really truly hadn't said the thing that Brynn said she had, really truly hadn't, that it was a lie, and to take in the consequences that Jessel has had to bear, that Brynn says she understands but really doesn't, it's just a little bit of a wild ride. Like, as Brian said, with the cast during the reunion, it feels like at points, certainly the storylines feel a lot more concise. Also, the fact that Becky Minkoff and Xenu haven't been on stage, I'm sure will have an impact. The teaser for part two of, like, I wrote a poem that I did also cackle. But the way that the cast just seems so clear-eyed when it comes to questioning Brynn is not a good indicator of Brynn's future on the show. But I would argue that regardless, she shouldn't be here for her own genuine benefit and whatever she chooses to do on her journey called life. I do not think that that journey for her sake, should include reality TV in any way, in any capacity. And the way that the episode even started with Brynn saying that there was a strategy to get the cast to like Jenna more by liking Bryn less. It's a great way to claim no responsibility for your actions, nor how the cast feels about you. Singling out Erin and Cy was peculiar when she's doing it with an arc of like 5 weeks of hell. You put me through hell. It truly did not feel authentic. Andy, I think, did a pretty good job, genuinely, of navigating this. He was asking follow-up questions. So often on episodes, it's left to the audience, albeit oftentimes with like a little bit of an edit wink of like, here's a reel of Bryn lying repeatedly and repeatedly. There can often be like a little bit of a helping hand. Certainly, maybe not to that cast member's benefit, but for our own, in like saying, if you feel a certain way about this person, here's a bunch of evidence so you don't have to Google back. With the 5 weeks of it all, it was tough to watch her try to explain herself when Andy is like, okay, so why do you feel that way? I mean, she's saying Erin said 6 bad things about her. Erin's like, that didn't happen. Then we get into an edit of like 1 thing, 2 things, 3 things, 4 things, 5 things, 6 things. Not great for Erin. But the problem here is that Bryn isn't saying you were mean to me that night. She's saying there was residual impact, not just of that night, but of things that happened after that night that lasted 5 weeks. She cannot give any concrete examples. So where did the 5 weeks come from? She, as Andy said, adds sauce, but that is exhausting to watch. Because I'm watching someone over and over again not claim responsibility, make things up, and then expect us to let it go while she's then trying to hold other cast members accountable. Like the plastic surgery, or I don't even know how you talk about Botox and filler. You do you, boo. Like full support, whatever somebody wants to do, absolutely. I'm more of like a shoe gal, but I completely get it. God bless. There are moments where I think she's trying to do the work of a real housewife, and she's also, you know, doing Bryn, but it just doesn't land because I feel uncomfortable. I don't feel entertained. I feel bad for her. I do, but I'm also like, you shouldn't be here doing this, or it's really not working out because you're making decisions where you're choosing not to take responsibility. You're choosing to extend the sauce. You're adding sauce on top of sauce. And I don't know what to do with that because no one in the cast, when it comes to that, has your back. She does not have anyone who agrees with her that she doesn't lie. She never lies. But if she adds a little something, she didn't mean it. Nobody on either of those couches is in agreement with her. That's a tough path to go down. It really is. She said at one point, I think this is right. She said at one point, I don't mean to be creative and elaborate stories. The thing I do is tell the other person when you say something. That is inexplicable to me. She says at points, I don't lie, then says I don't mean to be creative and elaborate stories, which means lying. The thing that I'm doing is telling the other person when you say something, but she's lying about what that person said. Why is it that she is incapable of taking responsibility? Then she gets on Jessel, and that was an LOL moment because I watched that. I did go back to watch that a second time, and it does feel like Jessel put a period at the end of the sentence with Botox. I really went back, and I know that Bryn then cut in, but the way that Jessel was telling that story was like, I was 26 and something about newspaper and Botox. And then it did feel like she was finished. So that to me did happen. But Bryn commanding her to be truthful and answer the question about the Uber remark and whether or not she ran out and didn't pay a bill or something. It's it's a little uncomfortable because she's refusing to do 10% of that and then performing that she does. But she can't even let the story finish. She can't even kind of let the jessel of it all ride. She has to circle back to, but you guys did so much against me. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to watch. What is the purpose of what this is? When the reunions, again, are about quote-unquote conflict resolution, we all know nothing is going to be resolved when it comes to Brynn and the rest of the cast. But I would think, as a PR professional, that Brynn would have some sort of strategy here that would be in line with repairing relationships, that's not just focused on, well, I'm sure they'll make up with me because we want the show to continue or something. I really don't know. Jenna says, as a way to sort of character at this point, as a way to sort of characterize what Brynn is doing, she said, when you retell a story, the original intent of that story gets lost and that person gets hurt. That's, I think, an appropriate way to characterize it, because she's not talking about Brynn's intent in the ways that Brynn's intent has been discussed and given the benefit of the doubt at points. She's saying, for example, with the Jessel of it all, Jessel's sharing of whatever she did about like fucking that guy or whatever, that that's the headline. Jessel's fucking that guy, and then it all got fucked up. It all got confused in the translation. That the original point of what they were doing, just kind of shooting the shit, attaching that to her marriage to Pavitt and saying that she is not in love with him as much as she is this seemingly random guy that she dated. Apologies to the guy, but like, he's neither here nor there. I could give a fuck. That actually really matters. It's not just about Brynn's intent. It's like the clear intent of the other person in sharing stories that Brynn has decided to manipulate. Because she's not just manipulating what it is that was discussed. She's manipulating what that person was doing while telling the story. And that is fucked. That's more than sauce. Like, I'm getting sauced spiritually and talking about this because I feel like I'm saying the same thing 14 different ways. But what we're watching is, and again, there were meaningful other parts of the reunion that deserve time and space, but so much of everything else is consistent examples of Brynn's behavior and the cast getting mad about them, or people staying quiet because they think she's either going to bury herself when it comes to like adding lies on top of lies, or I don't want to give her the gift of my anger because she can use that as a distraction. There were other moments. Before maybe getting more into the Jessel of it all, I'm very focused on the Jessel of it all, because I just thought she did a fucking good job of expressing herself and expressing that, like, as of right now, and I believe that right now won't continue, she really does not want to have any kind of relationship or friendship with Brynn. She's talking about the show when she's talking about the friendship, but she's also talking about the friendship. I don't know which Brynn would care about more, and I don't hold that against her. I mean, at the end of the day, these people, even though we don't get to talk about it in that way, this is a job. This is a well-paying job. I don't know, for like new cast, I mean, you're starting at a different point than you would be if you've been on like Beverly Hills for 10 seasons. Obviously, there's going to be a discrepancy there. But I would think it would matter for Brynn, for the friendship, but also for the purposes of working in this friend circle, that this person is clearly saying she is uncomfortable in Brynn's presence. There was a moment that I sort of don't even... There would be no universe in which to ask a follow-up. I don't think it would be appropriate if Andy did. I don't think the cast would want to go down that path. But when Brynn was talking about the impact of being a survivor of sexual assault, there was a lot that I connected with. A big part of that, obviously, well, not obvious, I mean, like obviously for me, maybe not obviously for other people, is this idea of care. It's not even idea. It's like the presence of shame. It's the concept, but also the absolute reality for a lot of people who've dealt with specifically sexual trauma, like carrying the shame. And you can think of shame in a few different ways. I connect with it not in terms of like what actually happened, which just for my own yada yada. For me, the shame was and has been the ways that it impacted my life, and not wanting to like say to romantic partners or something, if I was having like a trauma trigger reaction at inopportune times, was to be honest, but I didn't even understand it at that point. Thank God for, you know, the last several years of very intense therapy, that what I was feeling was like a direct reaction to this thing that happened to me. And it was like the shame of behaviors associated with the trauma. It wasn't just the trauma, which is like its own thing, its own shame situation. It was the things that I, for a long time, didn't want to or was aware was like directly connected, the ways that it changed my behaviors, the ways that it made me just like instinctively jolting at points and triggered. I mean, there's really no other way to say it. So when she's talking about shame and maybe the presence of shame as specifically because of what she experienced, I completely understood it, because that was such a huge part of my life for so long. I understood it. And that's just my own experience. But I connected with Bryn in that moment. But the moment that gave me a lot of pause was toward the tail end of that conversation, which Lord knows we will, I'm sure, get into when it comes to like the finale of it all on part two. But, you know, and I think it was Andy, but it could have been somebody else. Someone says to her, I think it was Andy, though, who says to her, you know, like, do you feel better after sharing this? Because she's talking about the support that she's felt from the Bravo community. Like when she was sharing experience, she didn't intend to share what she did during season one about her childhood trauma, and that she's received a lot of support. But she also says, when it comes to, I say when it comes to like literally every 7 seconds, when she says that she feels worse now after filming, that's something that really hit me. And I just kind of thought to myself, I get it. I can totally see how she would feel that way. Again, then why is she watching? I can understand wanting to like block out this thing and avoid it. Like my number one thing in life is avoidance. Like almost like pathological avoidance because of just like other shit. I just, you know, there's a lot. It's a conversation for another day off mic. But with Bryn not watching the finale, I would assume a huge, one of maybe many reasons she didn't want to watch this was because she wanted to avoid it as long as she possibly could. But what is it that you regret saying? Or is it that you feel worse after filming because of what happened during the finale? What, and I'm going to be particular with how I say this, what the cast said happened during the finale. Because I think Bryn's reality of what happened during the finale isn't in line with the cast's. And that's a big problem. And I can understand Bryn saying she feels worse after filming. And I genuinely feel terrible for her in that. I don't know if there was any conversation. I got into this during the finale deep dive of like asking anyone's permission or consent after this happened for this being a part of the finale. Someone said something on one of the posts about this on IG that I reposted. I'm going to butcher it terribly, so I apologize. But they said something along the lines of like, the finale is, I might have even said this during the recap, I don't remember. The finale, this finale is similar to what could have happened during Scary Island with less, if Scary Island had less responsible producers. If people had identified Kelly's behavior, very, very different situation, but if people had identified Kelly's behavior and thought, let's continue to provoke her, to be provocative, because this is entertainment, at a certain point, production for Scary Island decided not to do that. And Kelly was removed from the trip. She was escorted back home to New York with a producer who flew back with her. That was a conversation that happened, might have been shared in advance of that, but I think was also discussed during one of the producer panels at BravoCon. And I just kind of think to myself, like, well, if Brynn had had different producers, maybe they would have decided after the fact, like, hey, let's not consider this entertainment. Let's figure out a way to make this situation work in the editing room, but not include everything that they did. But when it comes to Brynn's regret and feeling worse, I don't know how much of that had to do with what she revealed versus what happened during that trip. I don't know. The fact that she made a face when she's in the makeup chair and the cast is talking about feeling sympathy for Uba, who had been incorrectly accused of lying and trying to manipulate and trigger specifically a trauma response out of a sexual assault survivor that she knew that Brynn had survived sexual assault and was intentionally trying to provoke a reaction out of her. It's very difficult to watch Brynn months after the fact, knowing how the cast feels because they told her how they felt, to still act in a way that's like confused at that idea, confused that someone was also wronged that night. It doesn't mean, it's like, for the record, I don't think that Uba should return to the show. I don't think this season was good for her. I don't think she enjoys doing the show. I think her instincts with the show don't necessarily work inside the universe of Real Housewives. It seems like she has a really great life. She's madly in love with Oliver. She is living this fabulous, beautiful life in Connecticut. She's moving forward with her life. I would recommend against her returning to the show. I don't think it's a good fit for her, but honestly, more importantly, I don't think it's good for her. I think it's clearly not good for her. And I don't know how much of that is from this like specifically toxic environment because of a lot of Brynn's just multiple examples of lying to manipulate to create moments and not having an ethical or moral bottom in any way, and seeming surprised when people are upset or perplexed, not in agreement that she bears any responsibility or intentionally did anything wrong or did anything wrong. It's like for Brynn, a lot of the Real Housewives specific mechanics, it seems like sometimes when she's taking stuff in, it's like, oh, that's almost an accident that I did this thing that happened and now they're upset. But how upset should they be because I didn't intend for this to happen or I didn't do this thing? Watching that over and over again, I would get really upset if I was mired in conflict with her even prior to the finale. But also, Uba, like, we can feel many things at once. I don't think this is a good show for Uba. Like, Uba in that Glamour interview talks about like having and wanting control in her life, and also I think we saw a lot of it during part one. She really was, I think, maintaining a lot of control and not wanting to involve herself in stuff. It's like she wanted to play stuff out. There was a moment where I think Aaron was interjecting at one point, and when Jenna was talking, and Uba was like, Jenna's got this, let Jenna speak. It was the right move. It was the right thing to do. And also she did allow herself. She's someone who feels empathy. I don't know if it's ironic, but it's a little ironic that we didn't really see that with the Raquel of it all. When Raquel is trying to explain stuff to her that Uba hurt her feelings, it doesn't feel like Uba had a lot of understanding in that moment. With the Aaron, with the talking about cancer, it felt like in the moment that Uba sort of removed herself from understanding that other person's perspective, which she got into in that Glamour article. She talks a lot about like the edit and certainly her intentions, and people can feel however they want about her responses. But the thing that I found really meaningful was I felt like she really saw Brynn when Brynn was talking about the sexual assault. I felt really connected to watching Uba connect with Brynn. To me, it felt really powerful. And this was a woman who felt deeply wronged by what Brynn did in the finale, what could have happened to her career, to her perception of her character, to her reputation, to her role on the show. That could have gone in many, many different bad ways, and it almost did. Like, look at the cast reactions to her initially before, you know, an hour later passed and we got a little bit of an update that maybe she didn't clock it, which led to some other stuff. But I felt like in that moment, like, okay, this is, we're watching a group hear each other. And there was just a little bit of a pause where I felt a lot of compassion for Brynn. I feel compassion for Brynn even in moments when she's like lying about stuff. I think she's not well. I think she's a deeply unwell person. I also think she bears responsibility, and it's frustrating to watch her refuse to take it. And I don't know how much. None of us, for as much as I can say of like how I feel, my opinion, my projection, my whatever experience watching her is like, I feel like she's aware at some of these points that things that the cast members said happened. I think she's aware of that. But I also think this is someone who just should not be on TV, who's maybe been rewarded by production, by whatever, by the audience, by whomever, and thought that she could then do these things or that that was a part of her scope of work. I don't know. But at the end of the day, I just found it really meaningful to watch Uba and Brynn connect over something that so many people, so many women have experienced. That was really moving. I found it really moving. And we're just going to skate on by the Aaron and Dad of it all. I can't do it. I'm so sorry. I feel terribly for her. I can't get into it. My dad died of cancer in December. Can't do it. And, you know, there have been storylines. It's so weird to use the word storyline when we're talking about someone whose family member was diagnosed with and then died from cancer. But there have been storylines on Housewives since my dad's initial diagnosis several years ago, and more recently where I've just like skip over it, where I don't even mention it because I was going through stuff but not sharing it publicly, and I'm still going through some stuff. So I felt terribly for Erin when she was sharing that, and unfortunately, there are so many people who are connected to going through a diagnosis of cancer, or a family member, loved one who is living with cancer or maybe who passed away. And it's just, it's unfortunately something that has touched so many people. And, you know, this is the communal experience of watching Housewives. I have an additional little pickle, which is that I bear responsibility to like mention certain things just with myself of like, I don't want to skate by this, but it's just too difficult for me to get into. But it is, there's something so beautiful about, like, there's something so beautiful and poignant about watching cast members connect with each other, watching Andy connect with members of the cast, and knowing that the audience is really present, where there's stuff that these women talk about that is really vulnerable. And there are moments where the cast isn't talking about it, where they're being just as vulnerable. Like, Erin, to my memory, isn't mentioning the cancer of it all in the scene in which she talks about having an abortion with her dad and sharing that information with him for the first time, and the guilt and shame that she carried with her because of fear that he wouldn't receive that information well. And it's just one of those moments where obviously this is like a really grounding, important, meaningful, you know, potentially painful conversation for her to start. She doesn't know where he's, you know, how he's going to respond. Also, there's a camera crew there to capture all of this. There's a lot of stressors in here. There's a lot of, to use the word in a slightly different way, there's just like a lot of triggers here. There's a little bit of a minefield that she's trying to navigate. And also, there's an additional vulnerability because she's with her father who's not well. Like, you know, sometimes the thing with this show is like the moments that I find really meaningful are the things that go unsaid. You know, it's not like normalized changing your mind based on new information. I think it's more like finding connection, additional connection when more information is shared. I didn't need a reason to connect with Erin more during that conversation. I was already with her, but to know the other things she was navigating, the additional nuance there, I found, you know, I found really impactful. I love that I was like, I'm gonna skate right over this. I spent probably 8 minutes fucking talking about it. And also, while I'm there, of course want to take a moment and just really say, as so many people have said, as I've said on prior episodes, how powerful it is to have women talking publicly about having an abortion, the ability to choose to have an abortion, having control over their bodies and lives that they decide to dictate, the different ways that the ways that Erin looks back at that time now, and just like all the layers of emotion that she feels, and also knowing it was the right choice for her to make, for her to make for her life, for her future family's life, and for Jenna to join in and support her and share her experience, and then for Raquel on the after show. Did I watch a single episode of the New York after show this season? I'm actually asking that out loud because it's appointment television with Beverly Hills and Salt Lake City, and you can go on Bravo's YouTube for any of the after shows. Did I even know there was a New York after show? I may have watched every episode of it and just forgotten. Like, I don't remember. But the fact that Raquel shared her experience on the after show was incredible. And it's all about removing the stigma. It was incredibly powerful. Okay, so circling back to Jessel and Brynn. So Jessel talks about the impact of Brynn manipulating her words. And the thing that landed for me with an absolute thud is her watching this episode next to her husband and then recognizing that Pavitt thought she was lying when she denied saying the things that Brynn so confidently said that she said. Like, that's the difficulty here is Bryn never does the, like, seeming, it's certainly in the minority. She, the majority of the time, she does the thing of this thing happened. Like, period, end of story, headline news, a headline she created using some small nugget or morsel of truth, like, I had a conversation with this person, or we talked about this thing, and then she connects an entirely different intent, an entirely different opinion, whatever, and it just is supposed to land there. Like, she really does not think or does not care about or feels she's not responsible for that person's hurt as a result. And I just, for Jessel, she's talking about Pavitt, who now doesn't believe her because of the confidence that Bryn had in sharing this story and in sharing it at all. And also navigating this with her family and Pavitt's family, I would be very mad. Very mad. And, you know, Bryn saying in response something along the lines of, I didn't know it had that effect, which to me, the TLDR is, I didn't care that it would. And again, I know that there's a lot of, like, people deciding to diagnose Bryn or use specific terminology to talk about Bryn. I'm not going to do that. It's just so frustrating because maybe this is the thing that's just ultimately frustrating. We'll never know. We will never know when she's saying these things, if she means them, if there's any percentage of truth or if it matters. I don't know that it matters to Bryn. I don't know how she feels. I really don't. But there's no, like, multiple choice answer that makes me feel good. Like, there's no excuse that she could come up with that would make this okay. Not just about her behavior, but how I feel about her as the result of her behavior. And Jessel saying to her, like, she was succinct AF. Like, is that why Bryn was coming for her about the Botox filler? Was because she obviously was aware of the effect her words had on Jessel and just wanted to get a head start to even this out in advance? Or maybe it was just different and she's just so deeply unaware that she thinks this is, I have, you know, the opportunity to hold somebody accountable because that's a part of my job, without any sense of irony about her own inability to do that. If she was in, and she has been, Jessel's place, Jessel says to her, I'm questioning your character to the core. How am I supposed to be your friend? And Bryn's response is to say, I'm sorry. Someone cuts in. I forget who. It was somebody on that side of the couch. Sai or Aaron. It wasn't Uba, I don't think. Just says to Bryn, like, just take a moment. Like, stop talking and listen to her. And I think because Bryn thinks that saying sorry is enough and she can move on and circle back to herself, there's something deeply uncomfortable about her portraying accountability by sitting there and looking sad, maybe because she is, .. and then circling back to, everyone spends the whole season saying I'm a liar. She's saying that like they're wrong, which I don't think they are. She's also saying it like, well, now I deserve an apology for how I was treated. It's both not about you and so entirely about you. And either way, whichever choose your own adventure you have, you're still not going to get to the point of genuine accountability because she either doesn't have capacity for it or doesn't care or just is unwilling to go down that direction. And at the end of the day, that's on Bryn. That's Bryn's journey. Bryn in her head has decided it's on other people to carry her behavior on her behalf. That's not how the world works. That's not how friendship works. I think that's why the cast doesn't want to have her in their lives in the ways that they used to or portrayed, because they see her better than she sees themselves, or they realize it sort of doesn't matter. The reunion makes it matter because they have a responsibility to talk about the shit that happened this season and the impact that it had on their lives or whatever. But after this point, I think it's like, bye-bye. I think it's game over. Jenna said when she went on Watch What Happens, no one has talked to Brynn since really the photo shoot, I think, was the last time that there was meaningful conversation. Brynn contradicted that in her post-finale interview, which Aaron then criticized on social media and saying, like, you're still lying. You're lying about the kind of relationship that you believe we still have. We don't have it anymore, let alone what she said about other members of the cast that she considers herself still close with or cool with. They're not cool with her. She thinks they're cool with her because she's cool with them, but it's reciprocal. Like, there's an exchange here. I don't know that she's used to, I mean, I don't want to call it like transactional friendship, but like she's treating these women like they're vessels who are responsible for doing an awful lot more than she is. And the onus of innocence or responsibility or I don't even know what, she's not responsible for how she behaves, or there's questions of whether or not she even behaved in that manner that she wants to raise. But also, when the women choose to hold her accountable or to distance themselves from her, she takes that as an insult and a problem. Like, she's like, I deserve an apology for people saying I did these things that I absolutely did. Maybe she has a problem with being called a liar. I'm saying maybe, even though she quite literally says she does. But she's trying to say it in a way that, like, I've been done wrong. And I'm thinking, no, that's not what's happening here. And maybe more importantly, for the purposes of being a real housewife, that's not what anyone else is feeling. And that's a problem. If there's a huge difference between what Brynn is feeling, what she feels happened, the way she describes what happened, and everyone else, including people who have previously had her side a lot and stayed quiet a lot, that's a real fucking pickle. Like, that's a real pickle. And Jenna, I'm not going to say, like, dragged her, but Jenna was, like, pretty fucking succinct, because she's quite literally in the middle of Jessel and Brynn. Obviously, she's aware of what happened during the finale, what happened in other moments earlier in the season. And I would think energetically, she's quite literally next to Jessel, who's saying, I was really hurt. There was genuine damage done to my family that I now have to figure out because you decided to create a moment. And also you were having fun while you were doing it, which isn't great. It's not great. And Jenna says, because Brynn does this thing that I think most people do, which is to say, I'm sorry, and think that that's an apology. And Jenna's response was really on. I was like, Jenna, okay, it's not just about wearing a robe. Like, I kind of dragged the robe of it all, because I was like, LOL, like, this is what we're doing to have a moment instead of like actually having dynamic conversation. But Jenna fucking Lyons had some real moments in that goddamn moment of a robe, which she said was $1,500. I think someone posted and said it was like $3,000, so I don't even know. Regardless, LOL. But she says an apology is an action. Like, just saying I'm sorry is not enough. Changed behavior is how a person can be believed when they're saying that they're sorry. There's no change in Brynn's behavior, including on the reunion couch. And also, Jenna says the thing that I've said, maybe in like in different ways. Jenna goes, you know, you're saying I didn't know. You did know. You're saying you didn't know. You did know. That's meaningful and powerful and important. It really is. And the problem, once again, is I've been recording this episode for 16 hours. 15 and a half have been focused on Brynn, and not in a good way. She's the reason, a big reason, not the only reason, but when it comes to the cast, she's like the number one reason against why she's the number reason against why the wait, words are fun. She's the number one reason why the cast in its current form doesn't work. She's not the only reason, but she's a big part of that fucking pie. She's not the only slice, but she's a big part of it. Some other stuff happened. The Pavitt and Sai of it all, I don't know if this is going to happen at any point. Sai saying she expected Pavitt to apologize, not just for calling her a bitch, but for using the term bipolar as a pejorative. Jessel saying Pavitt wants an apology, expects an apology, deserves an apology for Sai intimating and making a moment out of his trip to Vietnam because he had extra points. That's why he went, right? And like implying pretty heavily that he was going for other reasons, as Andy said, to get laid. Could they not just apologize to each other? Could we not do the thing that happened on Salt Lake, even though it really didn't need to? It wasn't like mutual. But what was it? Was it Justin to Lisa or something or whatever the fuck happened? There was like a one-sided apology that then became mutual, and it was just in order to like kind of let things go and move on. Can that just happen? And like, I don't even really care. Sai is owed an apology. Pavitt's owed an apology. It's not about who's owed an apology more. Can just both of these people take some ownership and like move the fuck on? Aaron bringing Mezcal to America. Literally, what is there even to say about that that hasn't already been said? Ugh, Aaron, oy vey. Raquel wasn't a huge part of the reunion, but she's crucial. Her energy there, her reactions to things, she just oozes humanity and empathy and truth. And that's hard to find IRL, but also on Bravo TV when it comes to Housewives. And I just appreciate the fuck out of her. I feel so sorry for her, hearing updates about her relationship with her mom, updates about the fact that, you know, it's like 10 years after her divorce when she started to date Mel, when she came out, and her mom still hasn't made the trip to New York. She's not using the iPad because Raquel wasn't able to set it up, which I think there's like a little bit of a, you know, some sort of underlying thing there of it's not just about setting up the iPad. It's like about her mom maybe wanting the iPad to set up, or her mom maybe making the next kind of move to repair things. It's just there's a lot there, and I really appreciate Raquel's vulnerability in sharing it. And I also think this is the importance of having diverse voices on the couch, because I'm not a member of the LGBTQ plus community, and I'm not necessarily going to recognize some of the nuance here because I haven't had that experience. It's very much specific to Raquel, and I'm really appreciative for her sharing this. I also think her mom hasn't watched the show. If she finds out about it, if her mom is potentially upset, I personally think that's on her mom to carry. Like, yes, Raquel made the decision to go on the show, and a part of that is sharing her life, but like, I don't know. It feels like her mom is not able to, or not interested in like having the kind of conversation that I think Raquel would like to have. Or maybe Raquel recognizes and is trying to meet her mom where she is. It's very complicated, but the nuance of it, it's just so important. And I'm really thankful that Raquel is a part of the cast. And since the Real Housewives of New York is in absolute shambles, and I'm not going to take the reunion having moments to discuss as an indicator that it is not deeply unwell, but I do think that Raquel deserves to, I mean, LOL, that deserving makes people continue to have jobs in reality TV. But my hope is, I guess that's how I'll say it, that she has a place in whatever happens next. If they do a soft reboot of New York, they might not. I have no fucking idea. Or if there's another role for her on something else, I don't know. I just like her a lot. I just like, likability can be very hard to find on Housewives. I know it's her first season, but there's just something about her. I just goddamn love Raquel. I just love Raquel. I don't know. It was an episode. It was an episode. This was an episode. More to come. You know I'm going to deep dive Salt Lake. I got to go watch it. I got to watch Salt Lake. I got to watch BH. I was desperado to record an AG, but unfortunately I couldn't because of the circumstances. But last week's episode of Beverly Hills, I was like, oh my fucking God, we need to talk about Kyle. We need to talk about Kyle in a maybe slightly different or deeper way than I have talked about Kyle. Because some shit she was saying in her confessionals, I was like, oh, no, you didn't. No, you didn't just do this stuff. So I'm excited to see the newest episode and have some things to chat about in upcoming Andy's Girls eps. And, you know, when there are changes to drop schedules, I try my level best to let folks know in advance. And I do that primarily most often on Instagram. So that's the number one place to send me your satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about all things Bravo, Housewives, and more. You can slide into my DMs at Dame Galley. Please include your first name and town or Anon. I am going to be recording that satchel spectacular. It's probably going to be primarily focused on New York. I might also include a reading rainbow, which I've done previously with them. I've done it with a feature in New York Magazine. That was so fucking good. One of the best things I've read about the Bravo universe was in New York Magazine. You can Google it, about Bethany Frankel. I did a reading rainbow where I truly read it and gave some thoughts on a previous Patreon episode. I've also done that with last season post-finale interviews that Heather gave and Monica gave on Salt Lake City. And I did something else that was reading rainbow recently, but I'm forgetting. So I'm hoping to do that with Uba's interview with Glamour, because there's some stuff there that I want to unpack. And I personally found it to be a really interesting interview. So I'll get into that. And also, again, a bunch of your satchels of gold, which you can DM me. No voice notes, please. And again, use your first name in town, include your first name in town, rather, or just let me know if you want it to be anonymous. And my Instagram is at Dame Galley. You can also join the Andy's Girls Patreon to listen to that Satchel Spectacular. It's the number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes, including today's drop, but I'm recording this Thursday night, of a live reaction to the Real Housewives of Atlanta trailer that came out. So it's just a very short, succinct 40-minute live reaction to the Atlanta trailer, and you can find that at patreon.com/andysgirls. Thanks for listening to this episode. Certainly can understand that New York is bringing up an awful lot for a lot of people. And so, you know, just sharing my thoughts. And again, it's just my reaction as a viewer, as a podcaster, and whatever else. And I am not in any way saying I have the holy grail of answers. I'm just kind of sharing how I came to the perspectives that I have. Like, for me, the journey is not just about like having an opinion. It's about, I got into this on last week's episode, but it's also about like the journey of getting to that opinion. That's the thing that I find interesting to unpack. So maybe this was interesting. I don't really know. Apologies for crying again. Two for two. Not to say that that hasn't happened previously, but thanks to all of you for listening to this episode. Thanks again for your patience with this episode. And as I said, if there are changes in drop schedules or little hints when episodes are about to come out, you can find that on my Instagram, typically Instagram stories. All right. Hope everyone is well. Hang in there. Sending all of my love to DC. this, you know, there's news that is coming out seemingly every moment about this horrifying, terrible crash in DC. And so just sending love to anyone impacted and in the DC area, just an unbelievable tragedy. So now I'm ending the episode with that. Let me not do that. Let's just say once again, a little LOL for how Andy talked about and raised the question of Jessel's teeth, and also to Bryn for saying quietly, pioneers. Those were the two moments that really, truly made me cackle. All right, thinking of everybody, sending you love, and I will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.